He's calling, wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time as this.
What about the hymn Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton was a slave trader. He killed men. He abused men. Yet he sat there on that massive vessel and years later wrote, I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, if I could just come back to the Savior. If I could come back to him again. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We got to get back to the old truths, the passion, the call.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground kicks off a special new series from Pastor Shane called Through the Bible. The first sermon in this series, Who Did This? Genesis 1. Protestant Reformation leader Martin Luther was once quoted as saying, Now if I believe in God's Son and remember that he became man, all creatures will appear 100 times more beautiful to me than before. Then I will properly appreciate the sun, the moon, the stars, trees, apples, as I reflect that he is Lord over all things. God writes the gospel not in the Bible alone, but also on trees and in the flowers and clouds and stars. Do you believe in the inerrancy of God's living word? We are thirsting for wisdom while drowning in information. God's word has never been more relevant, from critical race theory and racism to truth, transgenderism, and tolerance. God's word is crystal clear on all these issues. Join us today for a timely and most importantly, relevant message from Pastor Shane as he begins a provocative and life-changing series, Through the Bible. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Idleman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Idleman.
If I get another flat earth pamphlet mailed to me, my friends work at NASA. NASA's not of the devil. Astronauts have taken pictures. You see current pictures now from Google Earth. You can see it's a spirit's round. Do I even need to go any further? Okay, as long as you know where I stand. Please do not start watching everything on the YouTube. Earth is flat. George W. Bush planned the Twin Towers. I mean, come on. You give me a break. Job 26:7, God hangs the earth on nothing. Isaiah 40:22, God stretches out the heavens like a curtain. And they still think the universe is expanding. Isn't it interesting? The size of the universe. And see, I could have spent another 2 sermons here. It's just so hard to find out where it's. Do you know how long it takes light to travel to the moon? 1001, 1002. 2 seconds. I think it's like 156,000 miles per second. But to get to the end of the universe, I don't remember, I'm not going to say it because it's some crazy number, like 400 million years. Don't quote me, please. I'm just, you know, trying to go off. But how the moon's right there, and then how the expansion of the universe, it's just incredible. And so I'm not going to have some scientist who is with air tell me he knows how to measure the speed of light across the entire universe and gauge how old it is. I'm not quite trusting that. I'm going to trust God and say, Lord, whatever it is, I don't know how old it is exactly. Looking at your word, I would assume that these are literal days. When God said, let there be light, verse 3, there was light. And God saw the light and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were, see, I can't put that in a million years. There's just no way I can do that personally. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And again, I already talked to you about this. God gave his example of resting on the seventh day and our example to rest on the Sabbath. So many other things. I mean, I could have spent probably another 15 minutes on the age of the earth, but I don't think it's where we need to spend our time right now. Then verse 6, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God called the firmament the heavens. So the evening and morning were the second day. So this, nobody's clear either, but it appears that there was some type of canopy, some type of expansion of the sky. There was something different because even Noah's in the flood, the great deep opened up. There's a cataclysmic type of event that happened. And then God said, let the waters under the heavens, so the waters, be gathered together into one place. And then let the dry land appear. So it appears that the waters were one place and the land was one place. Look at a globe. What does it look like? The land was created. So you can't see, and when you take tectonic plates and those plates move on a massive scale, God opens the deep and these plates move. What do? They push against each other and form something called mountains. Folded mountains or box mountains or different volcanic mountains can form as well. So you see, all this is consistent with creation. That's why it's just amazing. For example, let's just take an example. You take the Book of Mormon, you can't find one single location mentioned in the Book of Mormon. Not a piece of weaponry, not a city, nothing. It's almost like it's a fable. And please hear my heart. People get upset. That might upset somebody. Why do you mean to people? That's not mean. That's telling the truth. You better get your definition correct, because we are living in times right now where the line of demarcation is being drawn in the sand. And we've got to speak the truth in love. That's actually, I believe it's cowardly not to say anything. If you say it with the right heart, with the right motive, with the right tone, of course you can be poking and making fun, and that might have came across a little too making fun. But my point is, there's nothing to substantiate that. Zero. And they put the Book of Mormon above the Bible. Yet there's nothing in it. And when you go into the teaching, the secret ceremonies of the wedding, that you'll be a god someday, like God, and rule a planet and have celestial sex and have spirit children. That's apostate. That's unbiblical. And so we should speak the truth in love. I want to shock somebody so much they shock them out of that religion, because they test it and they check it. Jesus did it. Shane, when? I am the only way. I am the only truth. I am the only life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Hare Krishna, not Joseph Smith, not Brigham Young. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Not the papacy, not the Roman Catholic Church. You want me to keep going? I am the only way, right there. That's the line of demarcation in the sand. If God would fire you up with the Holy Spirit, you'd be bold as well. Because you have to. You have to tell people the truth. I don't know when it was, but I was thinking, it comes up a lot, you know, in our conversation with our kids. And, you know, why say things? People ask, why do you say things, man? You're going to, government's not going to like this. I'd rather die bold and loving the Lord than live a coward. Live all of my life a coward? Now, I want to use wisdom. I don't want to go before my time. But I can't live. The Spirit of God will not live, let you die cowardly. He can't. It's bubbling up. The kids sing that song at VBS. Can't get out of my mind, bubbling up. You know, it's a Holy Spirit bubbling up inside of you. It comes boldness. How? And I a lot of these stories, you know, you don't know what to believe out there, but there's some reputable sources that, like, entire churches were wiped out in Afghanistan. I don't know if you know this. But the recordings on the phone of just going in and just shooting them. And they would not deny Jesus Christ. That's boldness. That comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit. The thing that people mock is the thing they need, that filling of the Spirit. And then verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth. So actually what you see here is 3 days creating and then 3 days filling the earth, or so close to that. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Here comes the grass, here comes the herb, here comes the yield seed, the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind. And so God created all the grass, all the herbs, all the trees, all these things. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Okay, so he's getting it ready. Now here comes the creation. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons. So see, seasons are good. For days and for years. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser night to rule the night. So we have the sun and the moon. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. If you think, if you're starting to think too highly of yourself, just keep this in mind. You weren't even created yet. He's creating, grass comes before us and herbs and trees, but see, he's getting it ready. He's getting the earth completely ready for his creation. It's just amazing if you really ponder everything. All of you need to remember, in case I forget this, but you are created in God's image. Let that encourage you. Maybe I've been adopted, or I'm in the foster care system, or this or that, or I have suicidal thoughts. You are created in the image and likeness of God Almighty. That should be enough encouragement to see you through, because that image of God that is in creation, God's creative work and his redemptive work on the cross, it's just amazing. And then verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth, across the face of the firmament of heaven. See, there's a distinction there again. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Okay, so everything is getting ready, correct? Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, the birds, everything. And this was the fifth day. Verse 24, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Wait a minute, what is our image? And see, this is where we see the first hint of the Trinity. All those people say, there is no Trinity, you're teaching false doctrine. God said, let us make man in our image. Well, how do I know it wasn't a translator? Because you can look at the Hebrew word that is Elohim, and that is the plurality, plural nature of God. You have E-L-L, single, Ella, dual, and Elohim. God said it, not me. Now, do I understand it? No way. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. But let us make man in our image. The Spirit descended, the Father spoke, and the Son was baptized. Three in one. You take it by faith. There's no other way to take it. You don't worship three different gods. You worship God, Elohim. The image is not the original, correct? And according to his likeness. So some type of image of God, his character, maybe his nature, maybe the dominion over the earth. There's so many things. There's an image that God puts his image in the human race, in the DNA. And if you ever study the human body, if you ever study kinesiology, or now with immunology with immune system and the skeletal system and the muscular system, and it's just the hormonal system. It's just the human body is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And God spoke that into existence. And so I've created you in my image. And let them have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over the cattle, over the earth, over everything on the earth. Man is to what? Not dominate, that word dominion, dominate. It is to lead, to be over, to steward. So when people say, for example, Christians, or you're against environmentalists. I'm Christians should be really, really good environmentalists in the right term. The right term. We go up in the High Sierra Mountains. I tell the kids, we're going to leave here cleaner than when we got here. You see a little piece of trash, we take care. We should be the best stewards of God's environment that's out there, because we understand we have been given dominion over these things. And it's interesting. Have you seen any those clips on, those big windmills? Like the thing is the size of this building almost. And when those break, they have to go and bury them in the dirt. And you see a big D10. It's the biggest bulldozer they make, covering all of these white, big, what do they call those? Blades? Yeah. Acres and acres and so much for green energy. How is that good? And how much energy it takes to make an electric car or the battery. I mean, it's just mind-boggling because a lot of these things are an agenda. So just be careful. So have dominion over it. So God created man, again, verse 27, he's repeating it, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. I think that's pretty important. He goes out of his way to say that. So you, again, are created in God's image, not the original, which like the Mormon church would teach, that God was once like us, and as he followed certain things, he became God. And they take one scripture that said, that when Jesus said, you are gods. And actually in the Bible, it's lowercase g. If you look the word up in the original, it's magistrates. You are less than, even the angels. You are to rule over. So to take these things and make a false doctrine out of it is alarming. And so we represent his nature, his character, and he commands us to rule over it. So I want to, with this closing, I want to encourage you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. I like what Spurgeon said. Oh, the value of a soul when both God and the devil are after it. Be encouraged this morning. Being young adults, get this message out to young adults. Put it on TikTok, on Instagram. Let them know you are created in the image of God. Stop listening to this garbage on the TV that tells you you are nothing. You should kill yourself. You are nothing but the product of evolution. And remind them, no, you are created in the image of a living God. And I know for many of us, it's hard to embrace that because we say, but I'm damaged goods. You ever feel that way? I've shared before, I don't think I should be up here. We feel, but God, I'm damaged. And Norman Geisler, a great theologian, said, during the fall, our God's image in us was effaced, not erased. So the image has been damaged, but it's not gone. It's been marred, it's been abused, but that image of God, that DNA, he creates something in you. There's that image of God. That's why we believe in the sanctity of life. That's why I believe in those who have no voice. And remember, some of the best hymns, we sing them from time to time. Some of the best hymns come from damaged goods. I don't know why, and it just blows my mind, but God often uses the damaged goods more than the goods that think they've got it all together. Oh, I've graduated highest in my class, and I've got this, and I don't do anything. And God says, I'm looking for the damaged goods, and that's where the hymns come from. That's where powerful worship comes from. That's where powerful sermons come from. That's from powerful ministries come from. They come from damaged goods, and Creator bringing them back. What about the hymn Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. John Newton was a slave trader. He killed men, he abused men, yet he sat there on that massive vessel and years later wrote, I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And those amazing hymns. It is well with my soul. Do you ever sing that one? It is well, as sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. Do you know he penned those lines over the Atlantic Ocean, right where the vessel went down that took his four daughters? Or prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Written by Robert Robinson. He was a drunk, he was a prodigal, he left the Lord after he wrote that hymn. And he was on a stagecoach. And this lady was all excited and go, listen, you got to read these lyrics. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel. And he began weeping. She's like, what's wrong? He said, lady, I'm the unhappy fellow who wrote those lyrics. Oh, if I could just come back to the Savior. If I could come back to him again. Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We got to get back to the old truths. The passion, the call. And I spoke earlier of Charles Templeton, Billy Graham, who walked away from the Lord. It was interesting that Lee Strobel interviewed him near the end of his life. And they began to talk about Jesus, and he began to cry. And this hardened agnostic said, but I do miss him. But I do miss him. All the way my Savior leads me. You know, that's a hymn too. All the way my Savior leads me. Fanny Crosby, blind since birth, wrote it. along with 7,000 other hymns, 100 a year for 70 years. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with living bread. Though my weary steps may falter and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, a spring of joy I see. The greatest weapon you have often is your brokenness and your damaged goods. Take that to God and let Him rebuild it. He rebuilds it stronger. So you must answer this question this morning. Who did this? Who put all this together? I don't know where you're at this morning, but you've got to make that decision. If you've drifted from God, it's time to come home. Don't live in that prodigal state. If you've never made that decision, make it today. How in the world did all this just happen? Something the size of our planet just hangs in the universe. Just enough distance from the sun so we're warm, but not an iceberg. If it was a little closer, we'd be just, everyone would be fried. Literally. It's just a little further that we couldn't support life. Who holds that together? And you're going to fear the government? You're going to fear what's going on? Begin to get at 6 a.m. morning worship. That should be the busiest service of the day. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just shooting you straight. Or Wednesdays, get into God's house and begin to worship Him. They sang a song, Just Be. And it said, just be here at your feet. And I just had this spot of being under, can you imagine being there under the cross at Calvary? And you watch Calvary's blood run down. You watch the Savior's blood run down on the ground, on the cross. Can you imagine being at that scene? I can't even comprehend it. The weeping that would happen. And that's what we do at a time of communion. We remember the cross. This is a time where believers or those making a profession of faith today, the Bible says repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. Don't intellectual knowledge. Repent. Heart knowledge. Repent and believe in the gospel. Remembering that the blood was shed for me. Remembering the body that was broken. And something that I want to ask God someday, maybe, I don't know, but why couldn't He just die quickly? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Just shed the blood. But there was a bruising. There was a beating. There was a denying. There was a mocking. There was a slapping. There was a spitting on. There was a whipping. His creation is killing the Creator. His body was broken for our transgressions, bruised for us. And so as we go into that communion, that's a time to remember. Get our hearts right. Paul says, don't take it in an unworthy manner. Make sure the heart is right. Make sure that there's full repentance. Last thing you want to do is take communion and say, but I'm going to continue in my sin. That's blasphemous. And that's why Paul said, many of you are sick or dead because you take the Lord's Supper without examining your heart. We come up and we say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me and for shedding your blood for my sin, but I'm going to go home and not change a thing. How sad it is. But be encouraged. Nobody goes home perfect, including me. But there's a difference. We've seen somebody says, Lord, help me. I want to stop. It's like the pig and the lamb both find their way to the mud. The lamb hates it. It cries out in its miserable condition. The pig loves it and wallows in the sin. That's the difference.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. And for all the latest on what God is doing with His ministry here, please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not.
I want to hear the Father when He calls. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.